Hello, friends. Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States and North America. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I wanted to tell everyone, I've been mentioning this on the air before, but the entire planet has shifted into the positive as of September 2016. And this is why I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the 3.1 million Seattle and Puget Sound area, and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world, now with over 100,000 listeners worldwide in over 60 countries. Today's shows will be really special because during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing a gentleman named Matias Gustavo Di Stefano. He lives in Argentina, and he's actually in Brazil today. I just spoke to him a few minutes ago. He's on with me now, and I joke that he must have several million miles in his frequent flyer account because he does travel quite a bit. But we'll be conducting the interview by Skype from where he's now in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. He's a very special gentleman because he has very vivid memories of living in Atlantis, and he'll be sharing those memories with us today. During the second hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing a wonderful lady named Carolyn Kaufman, who she's a healer and intuitive counselor. She's also a life coach, and she worked with Dr. Moto several years ago when he was here in the United States touring in the Los Angeles area. During her interview, we'll be talking about the ascension of the planet and how all of us can help humanity create a much better and happier planet. Joining me on the program will be well-known psychic and aura reader Carolyn White with messages from the spirit world on how we can create a better and happier planet. I hope you can all listen to this inspiring, positive show for our second hour. I really appreciate everyone's support for the radio program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also want to thank everyone for their donations and support, especially Mark, who in Finland, Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, Robert, Julie, and Louise in Bellevue, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Washington, Darren in Olympia, Corey in Kent, Robert in Bellevue, Tom Frazen, Sig Sigby in Norway, David Lowe in Singapore, Ron McGregor and Raj Shastri in beautiful Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness to make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including Crystal at the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore off of 38th Avenue in Tacoma next to the Tacoma Mall, and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers on this show. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience in over 60 countries with over 100,000 listeners for your goods and services. And I know with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier place. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's designing my website and providing wonderful support. My dear friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Moto and Mrs. Emoto of the Moto Peace Project and Moto Office in beautiful Tokyo, Japan. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know have been supporting my show and listening now. My angelic and earthly family, and I couldn't do this without the help of my wonderful producer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema. And I want to just thank them so much for all their help and support. I have a spiritual mentoring program for those interested. I've been in touch with the other side for over 22 years, and I can help people with relationships, past lives, career choices, and contacting friends and family on the other side. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can give me a call on my cell phone here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. I also wanted to tell you that Out of This World Television is now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 in the Puget Sound area on Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. You can also watch the shows on YouTube and Vimeo under Out of This World. I want to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference in June of 2016. It was a wonderful experience, and I know everyone really enjoyed themselves. I'm having another one next year on March 10, 11, and 12 in 2017. And following the conference on March 14th and 15th, I'll be bringing in the world's most famous vibrational healer or Hado therapist from Tokyo, Japan, a Dr. Yoshi, who will be demonstrating and selling Hado machines. I also have an early bird special for the March 2017 conference for those who register before the end of this year, which is the end of next month. They'll receive $25 off the regular admission price of $197. For information, please go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com or just send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. We'll have some wonderful people there. For example, we'll have Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project. She does such wonderful work with children around the world, teaching them love and gratitude. She'll be giving a presentation, as well as Dr. Yoshi. I've also invited former Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer to come, as well as Billy Faye Woodard and Zora of the Inner Earth, as well as, and in addition to that, Scott Lemriel, who's been in contact with benevolent extraterrestrials for the past 54 years, and as well as Jim Mars have invited him as well. He's a famous American journalist from Texas who will be coming up. Also, I wanted to tell people that if you're in the Tokyo area or would like to travel there on December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, they're having a very special Hado school. For more information, excuse me, please go to their website at http://hadoworld.com. That's HADOworld.com. In January, and January 21st, I'm also sponsoring what I call a Cosmic Awareness Fair at the Washington RV and Events Center at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia. There'll be over 20 vendors there, and admission will be free, and I'll also be giving a presentation on the Modal Peace Project at 1 p.m. that day, and I hope you can all come. Finally, if you're in the Yelm area, for the next couple of weeks, they're showing some funny movies, including Spamalot by Monty Python. They're located in downtown Yelm. Their web address is www.thetriadartstheater.com. And the show times are on November 8th, 19th, the 20th. The 8th's already passed, but on the 19th and 20th, as well as the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Finally, KKNW, the radio station here, is having sponsoring a listener survey, and we'd love to hear from you regarding your favorite shows and your likes and dislikes. If you like, please go to the radio website at www.1150kknw.com and click on the 2016 listener survey at the top of the page. And for participating, you'll get a chance to win $400 in gift certificates at a beautiful beach resort on the ocean here called the Quinault Beach Resort and Casino at Ocean Shores, Washington, about 3 hours from Seattle. And we'll be having this survey until December 5th when the radio station here will pick the winners. And I hope you all can participate. My book, my book on Messages from the Masters will be coming out soon, and I'll be sure to let you all know when it's published. The book contains messages for humanity from Professor Albert Einstein, U.S. President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nikola Tesla, Nostradamus, and Dwight D. Eisenhower, as well as some messages from the Galactic Alliance. And I hope you all, I think you'll find it just a fascinating book. Now, I'd like to go on to my first guest, Matias Gustavo Di Stefano, who's coming to us live. Actually, live from Brazil. He actually lives in Argentina. But Matias, hi. Welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's so good to hear you. You know, thanks to our modern technology today, Matias, it's almost like you're sitting next to me in the same room, even though you...
Yeah, that's great. I think that's why a lot of us choose to be born in this time.
Well, I think you're right. It's amazing how the internet has brought humanity so close together. And you know, you can fly from one end of the world to the other in a couple of hours or even a day or two. And where a couple of centuries, even 100 years ago, if you wanted to go, for example, from Seattle to Japan, you probably had to take a sailing craft, and it might take you a couple of months to get there. But today you can get there in a matter of days or even hours. Well, Matias, I have to tell you, of all the people I've had on my show, you're one of the most interesting, and you're one of the most interesting because not only because of what you're doing now is raising consciousness on this planet, but also your memories when you lived in Atlantis. And could you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, how did you start realizing this when as a child, having these memories?
Yes. Well, as a lot of people around the world right now, we are remembering because Earth starts to remember who she is. Mm-hmm. So we are just like the neurons thinking about what the Earth is thinking, and she's trying to remember her history, why everything is like this today, why our present is like it is. So it's like kind of trying to think backwards and trying to understand from where we come from. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people is starting to remember, mm-hmm. because the planet is starting to remember. And I'm one of those who come here with the wide open mind to remember not only my memory, but also Earth's memories. Mm-hmm. And that's why since I was really a kid, when I was a child, I start remembering many of the things I have lived in many other lives, in many other realities, in other dimensions, in other planets. But the most of all, what I start to remember was the history of humanity from the mm-hmm. first beginning. And one of the first moments I remember was a civilization in between Atlantis and Egypt. And my grandfather, grandmother, they were from Atlantis. They were immigrants in Africa. And I was like I was a woman at that time. And I had the whole knowledge of Atlantis because of my family. And well, when I was 3 years old, in this life, I was able to be connected with many other realities. But when I was 11, 12 years old, I started to remember, and those other realities, those other beings started to explain to me that I was going to start remembering in order to understand the purpose of my life and my mission. So the first thing I remember was that life, mm-hmm. Engaged to Atlantis, mm-hmm. which we call the Kef. And everything that happened in that time, it's what I used to say is like if it is trying to finish in this life, you know, I'm mm-hmm. trying to finish what I couldn't do or what a lot of us couldn't finish in that time. Sorry for my English, because I was speaking in Spanish and Portuguese until 30 minutes ago. So I have the Portuguese in my head.
Well, that's fine. And I promise I won't ask you to speak in Swahili or Arabic
no.
today. We have probably listeners in that language, but I won't. Because if you did, I wouldn't know what you'd be saying. So, well, that's what an amazing story. That's just an amazing story. I mean, I wrote down about 100 questions, but I'll try to focus it down just a few here, because I know we've only got a limited amount of time. But one of the questions that I had about Atlantis is that what went wrong? Why did their civilization end? And what kind of lesson is that for us today?
Well, it's kind of the same thing that is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
The main problem was that the whole civilization start to take control of other civilizations.
Ah, interesting.
But to understand why Atlantis has fallen,
mm-hmm.
You have to understand the purpose of that society and that time. As we spoke before, someday. I always want to people to understand both parts of the history, and both part is the beginning and the ending too. So the beginning maybe is very different from what a lot of people used to think.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning of this civilization mm-hmm. was to gathering the best of the DNA of many others, many places in other galaxies, in other systems, and even Earth, and trying to create a civilization, a humanity that could be able to represent the consciousness of this planet mm-hmm. and help many others in other levels of consciousness and here in the matter too, to help to transcend the reality by biology. So biology is like the tool that the spirit have to express itself, to understand itself. So this society would help everyone to do a purpose path towards that transcendence, towards mm-hmm. that experience. But the thing was that we were meant to be all together, united. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they always said we all are one. We are all part of the same thinking, which is the planet Earth. So they create this network around the world to explain how the network, the consciousness works, and all the technology and all the society was kind of a system of biology. So they were very aligned to the whole planet, to every spot in the world. But the problem was that when the whole civilization starts to spread out around the whole world, they settle in many other places. So they start to create their own cultures, their own way of thinking. So when they did that, the main civilization, which was Atlantis, start to think that maybe if they create their own cultures, we would have many problems around the world because we would be disconnected. So a few of the families from Atlantis, not everyone, but a few families start to see that fear in the others, in the other population. So that fear was like today's terrorism, but in that time was someone trying to say, if we go, if we allow everybody to be free, maybe the consciousness will go down. So that was the main fear they had. So they start to control everyone.
Really?
In order to...
That's fascinating. That is really fascinating.
They start to control everyone, and they start to control them by the temples they have created. So that's why a lot of cultures start to destroy the main temples so they could be free.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's why there is no much less, you know, left. Sorry. There's not much left from the history from that time, because a lot of the cultures that Atlantis has created destroyed the same city, destroyed the pyramids, destroyed a lot of temples just to be free from the system of Atlantis.
Wow.
From the consciousness of that civilization. So the main civilization was really great, but they start to control everyone. Today we are living exactly the same by technology. We have the governments trying to control us by technology, by all the system. Well, you know,
I have to
more than me.
I have to tell you something very unusual is happening outside my studio window. I looked out a few minutes ago, and while you've been speaking, Matthias, there's a drone about 20, 30 feet from the window here. And I've taken a couple of pictures of it. It's not the sort of thing you see every day. I don't know what they're doing, but it's a drone. And I thought it... Yeah, yeah, it's weird. But anyway, and you're talking about the government back
control.
Yeah. Back in Atlantis trying to surveil.
Well, as you see, at that time, they use the architecture to control the mind. And now they are using technology to control the mind. So it's almost the same, but in different ways, you know?
Interesting.
Our civilization, Atlantis, was not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Was some people that start to do it. It's like talking about all Americans being bad for the world. It's not like this. It's
right.
A few families, a few people that is controlling, you know, every other country's economy and all this. It's not the whole population. Atlantis was the same. A lot of people left the country because they start to to think that they were controlling everyone, so they don't want it to be controlled by their own families. So they left the countries, and there was an economical falling of the system of economics start to fall down. The spiritual, the educational, everything start to be broken in Atlantis as a system. So when the whole way of thinking of the civilization, which was the thinking of the planet, disappeared because it was disconnected, the whole planet, entire planet, got inside a crisis from within. So the planet start to defend itself from something that was within. That's why there was a big weather change in that time, and then the big waves and the volcanoes erupting and all that. But that was really at the end, because they were using in a bad way the technology they had.
Sure.
We had.
Sure, sure.
So it's exactly the same that we are living today. That's mm-hmm. why a lot of people is remembering about Atlantis right now, mm-hmm. because we are exactly in the opposite side of the history, in which we are living exactly the same of that time. So we are trying to help to restore that network, so nothing wrong could happen to the planet. But the main thing is that what we don't want is that the planet start to think again about defending itself. So we have to create the unified field again to restore the network that Atlantis has created, and to restore the consciousness in the planet, to understand that we are part of that consciousness, that we are not above Earth, that we are Earth, exactly, mm-hmm. and that our thinkings control the way that Earth thinks, and what Earth thinks controls our way of thinking. So that's why a lot of people is awakening right now, because the planet is awakening after 12,000 years sleeping and having a nightmare. But this nightmare was a good teacher, because we learned a lot. We had lived many things that we are now that we have now as a tool. So I don't think in history for the 12,000 years we have spent right now were bad. I think they prepare us for another 2,000 years. 12,000 years of light. So we now have better tools to understand the world. But if we don't heal the history from Atlantis time, whatever we do won't work, because right. every problem we have right now in this society is just a reflection of that history 12,000 years ago.
You know, it's amazing. There's a wonderful psychic and an anthropologist living up in Vancouver Island, Salt Spring Island, actually. Her name is Barbara Hancloud. She's written a lot of wonderful books, and she talks about the trauma of Atlantis, that after Atlantis destroyed itself, went off on a wrong tangent, tried to control other societies here on the planet, ended up destroying itself. But we still have, as a collective consciousness, that memory back then. And I think what's happened is that many of the souls who were present during Atlantis, like yourself, Matthias, have mm-hmm. come back again during this time to educate people not to make the same mistakes that we did back then, so we don't end up destroying ourselves and the planet again.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Of course, we have a lot of things to learn, and there is not a need to do it right now, but yes, to understand that this is a new beginning for a new consciousness, which is to restore the network and not doing the same mistakes. So that's why I don't blame anyone in the history. I don't blame anyone in the present. because every one of us is a result of what Earth needed to learn about itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everything that happened in so many lives, most of them were painful.
Right.
But I think that we choose the creation is like a tree.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a tree, you realize that there is no fruits and there is no flowers unless you go very deep in right. the dark with right. the roots to right. take the minerals that will fit that tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we are like those roots going very deep into the dark. Mm-hmm. So we could bring light to within, really. So to the inside. Mm-hmm. So I think that this period of history we have lived was from light to dark, and we are going now inevitably to the light again. But the thing is that we have to recognize that darkness we have lived this 12,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we is our tool to go up, and mm. it's not something we have to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we have to learn. Carry as wisdom, not as a heavy. And this is one of the things we have to learn about history, which is every experience we have is just wisdom of the experience we took along the years. So it's not the problem. Unconscious.
That's one of the most important, profound statements I've ever heard. To look at history, not in a negative sense, but if I hope you might be paraphrasing this, not in a negative sense, Matthias, but instead as a positive learning experience, and take that wisdom so we don't repeat those mistakes in the future to create a better world.
Exactly. The main problem we have is that because of fear is a tool, it's one of those tools, and Atlantis start to use that tool that we've been like 12 or 15,000 years in the past without fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time we created Atlantis. Mm-hmm. Atlantis was a civilization without fear until some families start to bring it up again.
Mm-hmm.
So fear is something that blocks us towards evolution.
Ah, yes.
But also is the main tool for evolution. That's the paradox of the universe, because mm-hmm. it's fear that makes you look for another tools, new ways of doing stuff to survive, so you evolve by fear. But when you start to evolve in consciousness, by thinking in your mind, fear is the worst thing you could have to evolve. So
right.
Fear is good to survive physically, but not mentally or spiritually. So mm-hmm. that's why in this time that we are evolving in our minds and in our way of thinking, in our mental, the first thing we have to do is try not to block the fear, is to recognize the help we took from the fear, the tool that is the fear, but recognize that it's not a tool for my own evolution in consciousness. And why do I say that? Because a lot of people in this spiritual awakening is fighting against something, is fighting against or they call themselves like the warriors of light. Yeah,
right.
So but if you are in light and you talk about love and unity, you are not a fighter, you are not a warrior. So this is not duality. So if you talk of unity, there is no one that is doing bad things. For mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. a lot of people talks about the reptilian people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They came from Alpha Draconis from a long time ago.
Right.
They settled in this planet because they couldn't survive in theirs. They help us to evolve because it was really a very good help we received from them to evolve. But there was a time when we got free that they couldn't understand that we were free. Mm-hmm. So they start to control us again. But the thing is that they help us to evolve. We are humans because of them. So when we blame them for the things we have done, not mm-hmm. they have done, mm-hmm. because the main problem we have today is not the reptilian ones, it's humans. that's worst. That's worse because it's ourselves. There's a long time ago without the control of the reptilians. We have the culture of the reptilians. So the only way we can heal that history is to look into the mirror and recognize that within we have a reptilian brain too, that we want to survive, that we are fighting for something, that we have a purpose, that we want to survive in this planet. Those are reptilian things. So when you recognize that in yourself, you start to stop the fighting and you start doing something to change from within, because there is no one outside that is doing something wrong. It's you that is doing anything.
Sure.
That's a problem we had in Atlantis. And that's why a lot of us have come again here, because a lot of humans stare at the moment of the fallen. We did anything. So one of the main problems we had in history is that we never took action when we saw someone doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So we start to blame the others because we were not able to blame ourselves.
Interesting.
So that's why we create enemies and we also elect as presidents, as religions, spiritual leaders, mm-hmm. people that will face us with those things that we don't recognize in ourselves.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
That's one of the main problems we had in history, and that's why we want to go around the world and try to help people remember mm-hmm. about those things, and to change the perspective of the planet, to change the perspective of the history, to look within and not only outside.
I want to ask you a quick question, Matthias. I hope you don't mind. You've given so much profound wisdom. About 3 years ago, the Dalai Lama attended a conference in, I believe it was in either New Mexico or Arizona, with many Native American elders, shamans, and he announced after that meeting that evil as an experiment is ending on planet Earth. And I took that to mean that things are changing and we're moving into a positive time. Perhaps this is redundant, but I'd love your reaction to his statement.
He said exactly.
He said that evil was instituted as an experiment on planet Earth, and that and that evil now is ending, and we're shifting into a much more positive, beautiful future.
Yeah. The evil is just an expression of light.
Mm, okay.
The dark is just an expression of light. When you don't recognize the light within yourself, mm-hmm. you start to see outside, and all you can see is dark, because you expect the light coming from up, from above. We created the darkness
mm-hmm.
to improve ourselves in our skills to discover the light,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you are light and you have light everywhere, the only way you can see the potential you have is if you go very deep in the dark and you express your light in order to see it. So
interesting.
So we created the darkness in order to prove ourselves how capable we were to enlight light from within. So that's why when you start to see darkness and you see that there is darkness, you have to remember that you put that there to remember yourself that you are capable to transform that. And that is what you put there. Mm-hmm. It's no one putting something there. Because if we are all one and the universe is just one, because universe means one path, is the only thing that you have is the universe. So you are not you and me are is not me. We are all the same. We are just different perspective from the one. So the first two things that appear was the light and the dark.
Fascinating.
So from there, we're born the many, many other perspectives we have in the universe. So we are light and dark all the time. And evil is the expression of that potential that we have to transcend in order to see the real potential we have within.
Interesting. It's kind of like colors. You don't know the color red unless you see yellow, green, black, and white.
Exactly.
And blue and purple and all the other colors of the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just thought of that analogy. It's an analogy I used to use when I was teaching many years ago, that in learning different cultures, you have to experience one thing in order to know another. So
yeah, if you don't get involved with the reality and make the comparison, you will never comprehend anything. So that's why the most pure spirits decide to be here,
right?
To be born, to live hard lives, because it's the only way you can really know what you have created. Yeah. So, but that's why I want to be clear with this. Evil will be never ending. Yeah, will never finish unless we transform our perspective of what evil is.
I see. Yeah, I see.
Okay.
And I think this is a test for us, isn't it? You think this is a test for us to transform our perspective? So that we transcend evil? Okay.
Yeah, this is the test. The test we have to improve ourselves, because as humans, we are one of the beings, the most potential beings we could have in this galaxy, unless at least. So we have so much potential within that we need very hard experience in order to improve all of them. So that's why we have a lot of lives, a lot of different experience that are very hard. So we could transcend, and transcend is not going, going above and go beyond. Transcend is to go through. That's the meaning.
I hope you don't mind me interrupting, Matthias, but I wanted to ask you a question, because I read as much as I could about you on the internet before, you know, today's interview. And one of the interviews that you had, this was some years ago, I think this was like back maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but you said something very interesting. I want to bring this up. You said that we're shifting from an age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And I'll just read this, hope you don't mind. The age of Pisces has characterized itself for the need of having guided groups by a person who knew or understood the path. This is a new, I'm just paraphrasing this. Today, this is a new age, the new age of Aquarius, where one is guided by oneself. Each person will find all the answers inside themselves, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah. It's just another way to learn. Still, biologically, we are mammals. Mammals. So we need someone to guide us. It's something. That's why we create families, we create society, we create a structure, because we are mammals.
Right.
So We need the mother, we need the father, we need those kind of things. But that's when you are only connected with the body. So when you go to your spirit, you will realize that you have the everything within in order to survive, in order to do whatever you want to do. But it's so difficult to mm-hmm. go through that experience mm-hmm. that those who have experienced that before everyone
right.
became like leaders, became like, you know, like the priests and all this people that saw reality from a different perspective and then start to guide others to do so. during the era of Pisces, we have the duality, so we needed the group and the leader, you know, all this kind of separation, mm-hmm. emotional separation, all this spiritual engagement with emotions and well, that's why we suffer so much in this past 2,000 years, because mm-hmm. We needed suffering to understand that matter is not the important thing. It's just another reality. Well, there's a lot of things that we have learned in Pisces, but Pisces hasn't ended yet. We have like 500 years more.
Really?
Of Pisces.
My goodness.
Yeah. We are ending Pisces, and the energy of Aquarius has started.
Interesting.
Like 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like the energy in the skies is not like one day is something and the other day is something else.
I see.
When you talk about a whole galaxy, you have a period of time in which the two energies start to go one inside the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we feel we are in Aquarius, mm-hmm. but we have a society still organized like a Pisces time.
Oh.
That's why, for example, I used to teach these kind of things, but for many people, I became like a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like weird because I teach that you should not teach.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
That's
sure.
why. Yeah, that's why we are in the middle of an area, mm-hmm. you know. And it's not bad. There is some people that says you talk about be your own teacher within, mm-hmm. but you are like guiding a lot of people around the world doing stuff and doing, you know, and I say I am doing what I supposed to do. The mm-hmm. other people is doing what they feel they have to do. Mm-hmm. If they feel they have to follow what I do, it's okay. If they feel that they have to join what I do with the things they do, mm-hmm. it's okay. Mm-hmm. If they don't feel they have to follow me, they have to do another things, it's okay. Everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
there is no problem with anything in the process of learning in this universe. When you start to see the whole process of the universe, you realize that there is no goal exactly. You don't have to run in order to accomplish something for a spiritual level. The material, yes, has some limits, but the spiritual doesn't have limits.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
when you are working with this, there's no one to follow. That's when you are in a spiritual path, there is no one to follow. There are some missions we have to accomplish in the material
right.
that we have to do all together and sometimes, but then you don't have to follow.
Right.
You don't have to keep going with that people if you don't feel it. That's the Aquarius time.
Well, Matthias, thank you so much. That's fascinating. You know, I've got a whole bunch of other questions, and I want to go to trees now. You wrote an interview. You said during this interview a few years ago about trees. My next hour, which starts in about 10 minutes, will be discussing the ascension of the planet with a couple other psychics, and I don't want to keep you on too long, But I'd love to have you on for another half hour, next hour. Do you have time? I hope you do. If you don't, that's fine. But
I will be here. I will be here.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we'll just keep you on.
I'm just sitting here working on the schedule of the whole trip of the project that we are going to help in 2017 till 2020 around the world.
Wonderful.
We are working here.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd love to have you on for the next hour. I think you'll find the conversations very stimulating and informative. I'm just bringing on a couple more psychics, and we'll be talking about the ascension of the planet. So I thank you so much. I would love to have your input on. One of the things you wrote in this interview, you said that, and this follows what you just said, quote, "There's no masters to follow. Nobody should tell us where to go. Now we have to guide ourselves, but how? And who are the best teachers to show us how to do this?" And then in this interview, you said, there are the masters who've never spoken, and that's why they're the best masters, the trees. The trees are the ones who can show us the best way to live on this planet, with deep roots into the ground, a straight trunk to channel all the light from the sun toward the earth, and providing oxygen for everyone, everything around it, so that all beings can live with it. Just by meditating without closing your eyes and looking at a tree, you will understand what I'm talking about. They were the first ones that came to anchor the light, and that light has to consciously come back to the planet. So be like the trees and bring the sky back to Earth. I thought that was so beautiful and profound at the same time.
Yeah, trees. Well, when you arrive to this planet for the first time, you have to be a tree.
And wow.
Because there's the only way you can learn how to breathe. Mm-hmm. When you arrive, when I got the memory about being a tree for the first time, I could remember that, and I start to look to the trees mm-hmm. in a different way, because we are used to it. You mm-hmm. know, you are used to have trees. You are used to the shape of the tree, and because they don't speak, you don't realize they are very wise. Sure. Because they are doing exactly what they were meant to do. Mm-hmm. You know, they just breathe. They have their own economy, which is free. Mm-hmm. They don't have to. They talk all the time in mm-hmm. between them. Mm-hmm. They share mm-hmm. experiences in between through the roots. They breathe. They give to everyone oxygen, which is a gift for every one of us, you know. They don't charge for that.
Wow.
They don't charge for the fruits. They just give it. Mm-hmm. You know. They do that. What we have to learn with many books, with many experience, which is give away our fruits. You know. That's another thing that they teach a lot. They create the flower, they create the fruit, but they don't create it for themselves. Mm-hmm. They create it for the others.
Oh, it's service to others and not service to self.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
They just let it go, the fruits of their lives.
That is so beautiful.
And we are attached to the fruits of our lives.
Yeah,
interesting. So that's a lot of things to learn about the trees. Everything you have to learn in your life, a teacher can teach you.
Wow, that's so beautiful. You know, I've been talking to Nostradamus the last couple of years, and he's told me that and this may be accelerated, but he said in the future, humanity on this planet will recognize what you just said about trees, that they're great teachers, and especially the older trees. Like, for example, here in Washington State, we've got some beautiful old growth trees, which are up to 1,000 years old, sometimes more.
The biggest
trees. And people will communicate telepathically with these trees to go into other dimensions and access great, great wisdom. And eventually, he said that he tells me that trees will not be cut down as they are today, because they will be recognized as beautiful, beautiful beings in their own right. And by that time, of course, we'll have other materials to build structures out of. So But I thought it was just fascinating what he's been telling me. It'll be part of my new book that I'm getting out. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of to learn about them. We are starting to hear them, to listen to them. They start to talk, but we are so mental that we cannot hear them.
Right.
I used to, a lot of the things I have learned in my life came from trees.
Wow.
A lot of the teachings I got was no master, was a tree.
Wow.
So I remember once I was talking with an economist and a politician from my country. And we start to talk about economy, and suddenly they said, "Well, where have you taken this thoughts about economy?" Because they thought they were good, I guess. I don't know. I said, "Well, I have to tell you the truth. A tree told me that." But I don't know if they took it real or not, but or a joke, but. Yeah, what I know about economy, the trees taught me about that. It's not the person.
That's fascinating. That is just fascinating, Matthias.
Yeah, the trees are like, you know, when you have two neurological systems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know in English the name, but you have this the system.
A nervous system.
The conscious system.
Yeah,
the nervous system. Have to. How do they call it in English?
Mm-hmm. Consciousness.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Consciousness.
Well, there is a conscious one and a conscious.
Oh, yeah? Subconscious. Subconscious, Matthias.
Yeah, but biologically they have a name. I don't remember exactly in English. They have a name with the one of them is like how do you call it, like. The ones that move the heart, the lungs.
Oh, the circadian rhythm? Circadian rhythm?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Huh?
The circadian rhythm, I think? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway.
and the other one is the conscious one that mm-hmm. when you talk, you move your hands or you run. The parasympathetic system and the other one?
Circadian?
Well, and the sympathetic.
Oh, sympathetic.
The parasympathetic and sympathetic. Yeah.
Okay.
The parasympathetic is the trees for the planet. If you have the body, the planet as a body, as your own body, the parasympathetic system that makes the lungs work, that makes the liver work, the heart work, is the trees, the neurons. That moves that energy around the planet are the trees.
Beautiful.
And we are the conscience, the sympathetic system.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So we have to work together. If we don't talk together, if we don't work together,
right.
The whole neurological system of the planet is corrupt, is wrong.
Because
that's why we have to be more connected with nature. It's not because nature is beautiful.
Right.
It's because something biological. If we don't care about nature, the whole planet stop thinking. And that's why we are stressed. We have all this chaos of society. We are not aligned. We are all the time in crisis. You know, it's like there. How many years every country in the world have a crisis? A long time without a proper time, you know, like, unless you are from Finland or
right.
Sweden.
Right.
But the rest of the world have problems. So the main problem is that we are disconnected from nature and that we are disconnected from our own nature.
Matthias, could you please, we've got just a few seconds now, and I'd love to have you hold over for the next segment. So please hold on, my friend. And we'll start our next segment in about 5 minutes or so. Please hold on, friends. This is a fascinating discussion.